Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is a Warrior Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. As always, if you want to hit us up, the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 is at your disposal. You can text low right now. He's not going to see it because he's not in his seat.
Oh,
he will be flagged. And flagged egregiously once he decides to return to the studio to go back to work. Really been burning the candle at both ends as of late after that 5-week trip to Cabo San Lucas.
It's got to be rough getting back to it after having your toes in the sand for a full week. Yeah. I mean, I can understand the first 3 hours were a grind, but that fourth hour, oh, it's just too much.
To the phones we go. He is the host of the George Sedano Show on ESPN LA 710, contributor for the NBA on ESPN as well as The Jump, George Sedano, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. George, we know you're really busy, though, so thank you very much for your time. What is the reaction in L.A. today regarding Magic Johnson's announcement last night? Did it really catch everyone off guard, like most reporters are telling us?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question. Nobody knew this. Clearly not Jeannie Buss, right? Clearly not Rob Pelinka. And even some of Magic Johnson's closest friends had no idea that this was coming. I mean, he was kind of just lurking behind the media galley that was sitting there listening to Lou Walton. And then all of a sudden, like, everyone kind of turned around like, okay, why is he still standing here? And then he jumped in the middle and just started talking. It was as strange a scenario as I've ever seen. I was actually on the air as it happened, but we were watching on TV Luke do his pregame presser, and then all of a sudden Magic just barged in, and I'm like, what is going on there? And then lo and behold, when we saw what was happening, we just potted up what he was saying, and I just kind of sat there for 45 minutes and listened to the whole thing.
The amount of disbelief took place reminds me of the press conference he had, obviously under different circumstances, 27 years ago when he announced that he had HIV. It was that same sort of stunned reaction. What do you think this means for Luke Walton as the head coach? Is this an 11th hour reprieve for his tenure, or is he going to be the baby thrown out with the bathwater anyway?
It might be, but there's certainly some conflict there because LeBron's camp, those guys are not huge fans of Luke. I think LeBron, at best, is indifferent when it comes to Luke. And, you know, I don't know what Pelinka's relationship is exactly with Luke. I think it's slightly better than it is than it was with Magic at that point. Obviously, we know Jeannie Buss loves him. But I do think there is a shot that Luke Walton could retain his job here, as you mentioned, at the 11th hour, which would be a huge upset, considering we were all expecting kind of the marching orders that he'd be gone. And his entire staff expected that to be the case at basically the stroke of midnight last night into this morning. It's just been a wild turn of events. And maybe him and Rob Pelinka end up surviving this because, you know, it's not like Magic gave this ringing endorsement of Rob Pelinka yesterday either, okay? And Rob Pelinka, much like Magic Johnson, should be taking a ton of the criticism. Magic is the face of all this thing, of this whole thing. But Rob is kind of for lack of a better term, a shadow villain here a little bit. You know, Rob doesn't necessarily know what he's doing either. He's a novice at this particular job, and it shows.
The Warriors seem like they have their management team in place. Bob Myers have done such a phenomenal job here with this organization. Does it behoove Jeannie to pick up the phone and reach across the aisle and bring in a guy that you know that has a great relationship with Luke Walton? Do you think there's going to be some suitors to try to pull him this way from this Warriors team?
I mean, there's a lot of people suggesting that. I think that if Jeannie is smart, that's what she does. But here's the thing, man. Rob has managed up. Pelinka has managed up really well. And I think that that's kind of what Magic was alluding to when he didn't necessarily endorse him and talked about kind of the stuff happening in whispers and hushed tones. I take that as him talking about Rob Pelinka in essence, almost stabbing him in the back in some ways. So it seems like Pelinka could be solidified here, but I don't know how you guys feel, but I just think in these situations, it's the perfect opportunity to just clean house, start with a clean slate, and whether that's calling Bob Myers or Neil O'Shea or David Griffin, who's the guy I've been saying they should call, do something where you can get someone, as you mentioned, with some gravitas, with some real experience and a real successful track record to run this thing, not guys who don't know what they're doing.
George Sedano with us here on 95.7 The Game. Whenever they figure it all out, from the front office to the coaching staff, they'll eventually need to turn their eyes to free agency. This is a team that we were led to believe, you know, LeBron would come in and then maybe be joined by Kawhi, Kyrie, Anthony Davis. What are the Lakers going to look like next season in terms of star power? Is it true, in your opinion, that some stars don't want to play with LeBron because if they win, LeBron gets the credit, and if they lose, these guys take the blame?
Yeah, look, I think Kevin Durant was right about what he said. I think the problem that people had was using the word toxic, which just made it sound way worse. I don't believe it's toxic. I just think it could be chaotic, right? Now, look, that could be a semantics argument, but I think there's a difference between that because you can get through chaos. Toxicity, I mean, that's like lethal, okay? So I just think that Kevin was on to something. And here's the thing, guys, the more and more people I talk to around the league, the less and less the Lakers are the number one option for these guys. And LeBron and the Lakers found themselves in this unique situation where the top guys in free agency, Durant, Kawhi, Klay, even Kyrie, they all already have rings. They don't need LeBron for rings. And the first three guys I mentioned, they want them at LeBron's expense. So why would they want to join LeBron James? And then, of course, Kyrie, even though it seems like there's been some thawing there of that relationship, which was very icy, you know, he's got plenty of options. And who the hell knows what Kyrie's really going to do? Nobody knows what's going on in his mind. I would guess that Boston is probably not in his future. But of all those guys I mentioned, he's kind of the key to all of this, right? You guys should be worried about what Kyrie is thinking because Kevin Durant is not leaving Golden State if he's going to New York by himself. Like, I don't believe that. But if Kyrie is interested in going to the Knicks, like it's alleged that Kevin Durant might be, that changes the dynamic. Kyrie is to free agency. But to finish off your question, guys like Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, those guys are the second tier free agents. And even those guys don't have the Lakers as kind of their number one option at this point. It's just a strange scenario for the Lakers.
Do the Lakers need to change the optics? Does LeBron James need to bring in a coach that maybe he's not cozy with and a GM that maybe he doesn't know to send a message to other free agents that, hey, LeBron James really isn't in control of this roster?
I mean, look, that's basically what happened when he went to Miami and he had his best years there. I think he had his most success there, both individually as a talent and clearly as a team. But I just don't think at this stage of his career, at 34, going on 35 in December, that that's what he wants. I mean, you basically sign LeBron James, and I'm talking about Cleveland did the same thing. You kind of make a deal with the devil, for lack of a better term. Like, you know what you're getting yourself into when you make a deal with LeBron. You have basically signed over at least partial control of your organization to LeBron and Clutch Sports and his group. So I don't know if that's feasible at this point.
He's the host of the George Sedano Show on ESPN LA 710, contributor for the NBA on ESPN as well as The Jump. George Sedano with us here on 95.7 The Game. George, we know you're busy, but that was awesome, man. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights. Hopefully we can catch up again soon.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Have a great morning.
Man, just think about everything you're hearing going on with the Lakers and realize that over the course of a year, as we cover sports, different teams, you have this everywhere. You have it everywhere. We'll get in the football season and we'll talk about dysfunction and we'll find some really bad franchises like what just happened in Pittsburgh, right? And what happened in Cleveland for years. And the Raiders have struggled for such a long time getting things organized. And then you'll get in the baseball season and you'll talk about some of it. And then you get in the basketball and you talk about it. If you're Kevin Durant, if you're some of these guys that want to go try to forge a new path again, nothing but respect for you. Nothing but respect for you and your decisions. But it can be a cold world out there. It can be a real cold world. If you're going to join a new team, you got to be fully confident in the owner, fully confident in the general manager, fully confident in your head coach, your teammates, the media, the surrounding environment. I mean, sometimes it feels like the grass is greener on the other side, but look at your scenario now. You win, you're successful.
You got good ownership in place. They spend money. They've been trying to give you every last dollar. So, I mean, it's really up to you. You go to them and tell them whatever you want. They'll make it happen. Nice area, good fan base, good teammates. Yeah, there was a dust-up with Draymond. That stuff's going to happen probably just about anywhere. I mean, let's be honest. Go out there and win. And if you don't, whatever, you're probably in the finals anyway. But, damn, it can be cold out there. Like, LeBron thought he was going to L.A., and it's like, all right, I'm going to bring in some extra stars. We're going to win. Laker fans will end up loving me. I'm going to maybe get one more chip on the way out. I'll be able to handle my business interests, put my kids in school in L.A. Life's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy these final years. You think he's looking around right now thinking, man, this looks great. This is bad for him. This is really bad for his rep. Whether Magic and whether he had anything to do with Magic, that's on him. It's always going to go back to, well, you know, LeBron's toxic. It's tough to be around him. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I think LeBron, I think that he's not the big ticket anymore. I just think that, he's still a great player, without a doubt. 34 years old, be 35. You have to look at it and say, what's going to be his legacy when he's getting done, when he's done? And at 30, let's just say, plays 3-4 more years. Is he going to get that standing O and do that things as a Laker? Probably not. Probably as a Cav, he would have. But I think that now when he leaves, it's not going to be that. Kevin Durant, I think, is in a unique situation. 27, 28 years old. This guy can go to New York and go play 5-7 more years at a very, very high level. In 27, you play to 34, you're playing at a very, still can be MVP, all those different things around it. And hell, in New York, you know that, Joe, he can jump on a train and take the train from there to Washington, be there in an hour, Baltimore, be there in an hour. So it's close. That's where he's from, watched all those different places. Mm-hmm. So he's in a situation where he can be home, be close to, you know, his family, all the different relatives and all those things. And he, you know, he got to do it his way. He went to Memphis. He went all those other, not Memphis, but, you know, it was in OKC. He came here to Warriors, won chips, won MVPs. So he's done all that stuff. So, you know, for the next 7 years, is it a situation where he says, you know what, I want to be home. I want to be closer to now people can enjoy me in the Mecca, where I'm from, in that area. So I think
he could run New York. If he goes to New York, he'll run it. If Carmelo was running New York, think about what KD would be able to do there.
Exactly.
I mean, Melo never delivered anything for those people, and they loved him.
But to your point, do you really want to, quote, run New York? Because we saw LeBron James come to L.A., and he tried to basically run L.A.
Different market.
No, but it's same situation, Lo. And ultimately, what you laid out about KD here is the number one reason why I think KD stays here. And that's why I've stayed on the side of him staying here, because you don't have to, quote, run the Bay Area. Whether or not it's Steph's team or KD's team, it doesn't matter as long as you're stacking chips. You've got a talented organization. You've got a new arena. You've got an owner who seems to think he's light years ahead, and he's shown you that maybe he is light years ahead. You've got a player-friendly coach, a GM who's been an agent who gets it. A lot of the boxes are checked here to where you don't have to try to, quote, run the town like LeBron did and like KD may have to do in New York.
You currently live in a world. I live in it too, but I'm just pointing it out that way. You live in a world where New York is run by the Nets and Los Angeles is run by the Clippers. The year 2019 sees the Nets as the premier basketball franchise in New York City and the Clippers as the premier basketball franchise in Los Angeles. Do you ever think that would happen?
No, not one of them, let alone both, let alone at the same time.
It's 2019. 2019, the Clippers, stable, only getting better. Steve Ballmer is doing a nice job. Doc Rivers coached them up really well. They'll get knocked down in the first round by the Warriors, but they're going to have max spots. If Kawhi joins them next year, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a good team that people are excited about. Lakers in complete disarray. In New York, the Knicks, obviously they've set the stage to have a big offseason, but the Nets are in the playoffs. The Nets have D'Angelo Russell, who could be the bounce back player of the year, and they've got two available max spots. The Nets could very well be making some serious noise in the Eastern Conference in the next few years. And meanwhile, there's the Knicks and the Lakers just battling it out for most dysfunctional. At least the Knicks handled their business and lost more games than anybody else.
Right.
Shout out to the Knicks. They set their minds to something and they achieved it. But damn, I cannot believe I live in that world.
Yeah. Would you love to see, I mean, hypotheticals, I mean, could become reality.
Hypotheticals.
Zion and KD together?
Well, here's, okay, so I love this conversation. I love it. When it comes to Zion Williamson, I don't think I want him with a super team.
Okay.
I think if you, the idea of KD, Kyrie, and Zion in New York is really appealing.
Yeah.
But I think Zion gets lost in that shuffle, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's what the NBA wants. You have this generational transcendent talent. I keep using this as the reference point. Duke is universally hated. Duke is one of the most hated sports brands in the world. If we just use the country and we eliminate soccer, it's like the Yankees, Notre Dame, the Patriots, and Duke. That might be your mount. I'm willing to take any criticism.
The Cowboys
on that.
Would have to be great right one. In the mix.
Great one. But like Duke for college basketball, I mean, Duke is hated. And everybody loves Zion Williamson. One of the most hated brands in all of sports.
This is true.
And everybody loved this kid. That's not how people felt about Christian Laettner or Bobby Hurley or Grant Hill or any of those dudes. You hated those dudes.
Yeah.
You hated the team and you hated their stars. Then this kid comes along and you hate the team or you don't care, but you love the player. Now, it probably says something about the generation, but at the same time, it says something about him in a big way. And he performed and he's exciting and he's fun and the shoe thing and all that good stuff. He goes to New York. Okay, it's a big city. We're checking that box. Things are going well. But if it's Durant and Kyrie, it's going to be all about them. It's going to be their team. They're going to be leading you. And Zion's going to have his moments, but he should be somewhere where he's the big ticket item. That's why I say that.
I
think that's
to compete though. So you don't.
I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm conflicted. I'm fighting.
Yeah, I'm
do
with you, Lowe. I see where you're coming from, but I think I'm in the same church and same pew as Lowe because. If he dons the garnet and gold of the Cleveland Cavaliers and he goes for 19-11 a night, God.
Oh, no. I want him with the Knicks. I've said from day one, I want him with the Knicks. I hate the Knicks. I want him with the Knicks.
But you just don't want the Knicks to add superstars with him.
If they add the other guys, then his brand gets diminished, in my opinion. He should be the star of New York. He should be the guy.
I get your point,
then. Would you rather see Zion with Kawhi or Zion with KD? See what I'm saying? It's a bet. I just think KD and him.
It's awesome either way. Right. Like it's all of them are awesome scenarios. I just don't like the idea of the NBA. That'd be like if LeBron was coming out and you put him in LA with Kobe. It's like, okay, that's great. This kid, I've been watching this kid on TV for years as a high schooler. I've been hearing about him. Now he's playing with Kobe and Shaq, and it's like, all right, so is he going to get some looks? If he plays well, am I only going to say he's playing well because everyone's focused on the other guys? Like, there are going to be so many BS takes and storylines on that. I just kind of want him to be the star of his own team. I want to go back to the way of instead of a super team, why not go bring some really good players in to surround him, but let him be the star.
Right.
Bring in like an older veteran mentor type like the Vince Carter who can be with you night in, night out and kind of take you through the ropes of the job.
Well, an older player would probably be a guy like LeBron, but I don't want to see
again, no. I don't want him ruined by being in LeBron's shadow. LeBron did that to Kyrie. Now Kyrie is just over the place.
But he's come full circle. He wants to come back. But if
LeBron ruined J.R. Smith, for crying out loud. He didn't know if he was coming or going.
It was the Henny that did that.
Perfect world, I would love to see what I would love to see is Zion go there, and I'd love to see Kyrie and KD go there. And I would
That's not a perfect world. The perfect world is Durant stays with the Warriors.
Look outside the window and see where we are. We're in the shadow of the Transamerica Pyramid. That's not a perfect world.
Can I finish this?
You can finish. Oh,
and I would love to see LeBron come play with the Warriors.
Oh, God.
I'd love to see LeBron play for the Warriors. Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
I don't want that. Get out of here. You're not going to come to the Bay Area and ride the coattails of everyone else's hard work and success.
Everyone does.
To add chips.
People does.
No, who?
KD did.
He didn't. He joined the team. They worked together. We established this last week.
I love it.
And the Warriors do not win those titles without him. You are not helping James build his legacy. Sorry. James, you build your own legacy. You've made it very clear that you're the alpha. This team doesn't need an alpha. This team's got everything it needs right now. Get out of here, James.
Well,
just go mess your situation up some more down in L.A.
It would make it so Lowe didn't have to travel so far to swing. He would cut down on his frequent flyer miles. And speaking of flags,
it's a pretty favorable situation.
We do need to get this to you for 904 when you were MIA at the top of the O-H-O-U-R. So
apparently you were shooting something on Instagram, according to the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795.
How about that?
That's
was it for the station account or was it for his own account?
Probably for his personal account.
I'm 15.
Motivational speech.
Illegal self-branding during the show. That's a 15-yarder.
I had to put money in the meter. Steven's car out there getting tickets and may get towed because he parked in a spot that he shouldn't. And that's why I went out there really quick, and that's where I was at. So sorry, okay?
So you're
okay
now,
Dis? Yeah, you okay now, Dibbers?
I got towed.
You've been working in this building for more than a year. There's no more excuses for the parking situation. You're very familiar with how it works out there.
I have the big diesel.
I'm aware. Get a small car, and you can have a spot in the garage free of charge.
Free.
That's actually a perk of working on the morning show.
Provided for you by this great company, EntercommonRadio.com.
You can join us in the daily fight we have against one another as to who's going to leave first and who's going to pull out because we have to all double park each other.
I have a message saved on my phone of, hey, Anna, can you please move your car? So I just have to copy paste now. That's why you get the same message two or three times
a
week.
And that's exactly what I send you back. I have a copy and paste for my response.
Look at you, Tim. You got it all figured out, though.
Well,
I get the...
Hey, are you leaving soon? I was going to get out of here. I'm trying to go to the Giants.
Don't worry, I rode the bike today. You can leave whenever you like.
But Dibs parked in front of me instead because he saw Anna.
I thought about it, but the old Spicciola in the garage. But the old Visa doesn't fit, so you're on your own out there in the wild, wild west.
Oh, man. I just get through this game against the Grizzlies tonight. Please just take it easy. I don't care if you win or lose. Just be healthy, get on a plane, fly back to the Bay Area, do whatever you want over the next few days to relax, and then let's get the playoffs started. Let's go. We've done this all year. We've been through the highs and the lows. It's been another very successful season. I think if we all had to sit here and assess what we thought of this regular season, we're all feeling pretty good. Outside of that one moment between KD and Draymond, which is always going to be lurking, but it adds some flavor. It makes him human. You know, it happens. People don't always get along. You can understand all of that. Doesn't make any of it right, but hopefully everyone's past it and ready to go out there and win another title. Like, the playoffs are finally here, man.
And the playoff schedule will come out tomorrow after the conclusion of games tonight. It may actually come out tonight, but we should have it by tomorrow's show. Do you want to see the Warriors play in that Saturday 12:30 spot or the Sunday 12:30 spot? Because you do have the Masters this weekend. How are you going to parse out your time? Because you have all eight playoff games Saturday and Sunday. How do you want your stack to go?
I'm not going to overthink it. It feels like every year they get that Saturday noon spot. That's been good tradition. Give them that spot. Whatever they're happy with. I'm not really going to overthink that whole scenario. With the Masters and everything, you're right. It can get a little dicey with the watching.
Yeah.
But it's not about me. It's not about me. I would say probably Saturday. I'd like to get up. The kid has soccer practice. We'll come back from that. Put him down for the nap, or you can watch a little bit of the game, and then we'll get that thing locked and loaded and get started.
If we're slotting the second most important playoff series, at least for us, just the way the standings look right now, is there another series that pops for you, one that you would like to see in that Sunday 12:30 marquee? You got Milwaukee and Detroit or Charlotte, however that works out. Toronto's Orlando, Philly, Brooklyn, Boston and the Pacers. The East, it feels to me like the second round series are going to be the exciting ones, but is there one, Joe, that really pops for you that you would put in that marquee spot?
Boston and the Pacers has some flavor to it, but the Pacers have really struggled on the road, and the Celtics are turning it on as of late. Now, I could see that going seven, or I could see the Celtics railroading them right out of the playoffs. I got to be honest. This is going to sound... Orlando has played well over the last month of the season. For all the jokes I've made for years at their expense, maybe they go right into the playoffs and the Raptors crush them, if that's the way it falls. But they're 8-2 over their last 10. They have played really, really well at home. The offense has come alive as of late. I wouldn't be surprised if Orlando made a little bit of noise. I think Denver is a prime candidate to get knocked out of the playoffs in the opening round. I think Denver could have this great season, get in, and whoever they draw right now, it looks like the Spurs. I would probably sit there and make a wager that the Spurs beat them if I get good plus money odds there. Denver, something's wrong.
Yeah.
They got crushed again last night by Utah. I think they've lost 4 of 6 going into the playoffs. They're making some bad decisions. Maybe they're tired, but I think the playoffs have caught up with them. Kind of out of time, but this is a good conversation. I want to get your thoughts on this as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to regroup. We got to talk about Steph's foot. We got to get to the Giants bet. You know what? I'm going to let the Chilton Autobody text line make the bet today.
Please.
It's the end of two for the money where John Anthony's in the toilet just flipping a coin for a Super Bowl pick. I can't pick a
That's
winner.
A great
so I'm going to turn it over to the people. So we'll get to that. All that good stuff brought to you by, I'm not sure Fremont Bank wants to be associated with, but here you are, Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We love you.
I got the magic in me.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hashtag bet162 for the Giants coming up in about 11 minutes.
Can't wait, baby.
I don't know what I'm doing today.
Yeah, you do.
I'm taking the consensus from the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Over, under, Giants, Padres. I don't know what the hell to do. I'm losing every which way here.
What are we at ledger-wise? Are you down like 480 or something?
Let me bring it up.
Not that much.
Because he went three bones yesterday.
You left. I was ramping things up, hitting big, missing small, missing big again, missing big again. It's kind of what you've missed since you were drinking your sharps down there in Cabo. Let me bring this thing up. At the moment, minus 560 right now is where we're at. Four consecutive losses, a two-unit, a one-unit, a one-unit, and a three-unit. So I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I'm all twisted up. It's still April. There's only 12 games in. And
can't lose it in April, Joe.
150 left to go, Joe.
Derek Rodriguez versus, I can't pronounce the other guy's name, Merovingian. We'll take it from the Matrix. Merovingian versus Rodriguez today. You got an over-under of 8, a small San Diego favorite, minus 109 or so. Whatever. I don't know what the hell to do with this. I'll deal with it in 10 minutes.
Well, no, because you think about it, and you know the Giants' bats look great, and you think about taking the over, but then you remember that this team offensively is very anemic, and you look at minus 109. That's a coin toss price.
Yeah.
So, and ultimately, you're talking about the Padres and the Giants, two teams that are both highly mediocre. So I don't know how much faith you can put in any of that. I could see where you'd be gripping.
Pilar's got 8 stakes over his last 2 games.
He's unbelievable.
He's driving them in. They have scored 5 or more runs in 3 of their last 4 games. You have to go, it took to like game 27 last year until they had something like that going on.
That's why Zaidi went and got him. Said, let's go get this fella.
You know what they're going to do? This team has become flip or flop. You ever see that show with
this
the couple
genius.
That used to be together, but then they broke up and then she married the new guy and then got pregnant? So, like, the dude is the total loser of the relationship now because she went on and, like, she's the one that's winning this. But they still work the business together. Flip or flop. That's what Zaidi's going to do. He's going to buy Kevin Pillar, and then he's going to make him look really good until the deadline, and he's going to flip him. And, you know, they're going to have neighborhood comps, but they're going to end up doing really well because they brought in some contractors and they didn't run into any drama like you do sometimes. You know, sometimes the electricity isn't wired correctly and they have to spend a few more thousand than he would like.
He looks pretty good right now. I mean, that stripped it down to the studs and you start rebuilding it. Grand Slam, you mentioned 8 stakes in 2 games. You may not have to wait till July 31st to spin this guy in your flip or flop modality.
Here's an example of my life. So 0-0. And right around that point, I think we're in the third or whatever it was last night, the dog has to go for a walk.
And you're on the under, right? You're on the first 5 under?
No, last night I was on the Padres -0.5 first 5 innings.
Okay.
And of course, there's an opportunity to score in the first. But Will Myers decides he's going to try to steal a base, which is odd because Derek Holland's pitching. You don't need to steal on Holland. You just let Holland give up a lot of hits, and then eventually you'll get driven in. And had he not got picked at second by Buster on a great throw, he would have eventually been driven in because that's what happened. Unfortunately, they didn't drive in the run, and then the Padres ended up blowing it when Lucky Lucchese went out there and just got shelled. And they left that poor kid out there. They decided it was going to be a learning lesson for him. Rather than anyone go out to the mound and talk to him and try to calm him down, they were just going to see if he melted down. And he did. You know, it happens to a young guy, but they want it to be a learning experience. But all that's happening is I'm walking the dog, and I live down in that neighborhood, so the last thing you want is to go outside with money on the Padres, walking the dog, hearing everyone screaming down the street, which is exactly what happened. It's a nightmare,
right?
Because they're not cheering because something went wrong. It's not like all these Padres fans came north.
But you're hoping, though.
You're not hoping. When you hear that, you're realizing the only thing you hope is I bring out my phone. I got the app, and I'm tracking the game. And I bring out the phone, and it's like, please just be like a leadoff double that eventually doesn't get brought in. Or please just be one run and then the inning's going to end.
Yeah.
And I look and it's 1-0, runners on second and third, no out. And I'm like, oh my God, this is an awful scenario. Like they're going to get another run. Even the Giants won't screw this up. And then it was 7. And it's like,
it's over.
I don't need to watch any more of this. And that was that.
That's
so
a tough
I made
one.
It like 2 innings. Right. I don't know, 3 innings. I don't even know when the hell it happened. Took the dog in and, you know, wife, how'd the dog do? I don't know. I don't know if he went to the bathroom or not. I wasn't even paying attention. He could have crapped right in the middle of the sidewalk. I wouldn't have seen it.
The dog in
to the neighborhood if that did happen. I don't, you know.
The dog in your bet actually had the same thing happen at the same time. They both, you know, went in that same direction simultaneously.
Yeah.
It was
well done.
Symbolic. I think the play today, Joe.
Look at you.
Is you take the Giants. We talked about this before the show. Left-handed pitching, the Giants devour. You got Pillar, 8 stakes in the last 2 games, feasting on lefties. Padres throwing a lefty today. Make it a three-wager, Joe. Three-bagger.
As he's
smiling. Take the Giants.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is that true? Do you actually have a stat to back that up? They devour left-handed pitching. They faced a bunch of lefties to start the season, and they lost a bunch of games to start the season.
That was PP, pre-Pilar. Since Pilar's come to town,
Not Pujols.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure, but at this
eight
point...
Eight stakes in 2 days? The guy's like a Ruth Chris down there at AT&T. Yeah. Oracle Park. There's a dollar. Add that to the Bosa fund.
Look, Joe,
old Nicky Bosa.
He's looking at it, pondering this.
I just gave it to him, Coach.
All right, the official pick is in five minutes. You can all make your cases. Chilton Autobody text line. Over-under is 8, and the Padres are a very small favorite. It's basically a Dibs. When I end up showing this to you, it'll be like -108 plus 101. Plus 101 on the Giants, minus 108 on the Padres. Make your case now. I'm open to all suggestions. I'm essentially going to crowdsource this thing, which is probably the worst thing to do here. But that's what we're going to do. So if anyone has any thoughts, Anna's suggesting a two-unit play.
Don't go
I have
three,
no confidence whatsoever.
Case.
So the fact that I'm going more than one unit is against everything. What are you thinking? You're back from Cabo. How you feeling?
I'm on the opposite with Dibbies. I think they got rocked. They got rocked yesterday. They got friggin' the Padres got rocked. Have show some pride. Is this the, you know, are they going to show some pride? I think they show pride today.
You want me to flip
it's
a coin?
A pride game. No.
One of the toughest things to do, and this has already happened to me a couple times this year, believe it or not, is to play the Giants and then watch them score no runs. And for 3 hours, you're just sitting there going, why did I think this would go any other way? Why was I under the impression at any point these guys would score runs? So then you come back the next night and you're like, they stink. I'll take the Padres. And then Pilar has 15 RBIs and wins an MVP. And, you know, it goes down as the greatest trade of all time. That's where I'm at right now.
A lot of heat on him, though.
And unfortunately, I have 152 bets I still need to make.
Yeah.
On this nonsense decision I made of mine.
Too early to punt.
Yeah.
Too early to punt.
Did you just take the safety?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Just turn around, throw it through the back of the end zone. Be like, let's kick it to them. Get the defense back out there. Try to get organized. I can't have the quarterback out there right now. Bortles is a mess. Let's just punt it to the other end of the field.
Just get the labor simulator in here Monday. Let's just cut to the chase on this baby.
And I like Derek Rodriguez. He didn't look good the last time out there. And this over-under, I can't do any more first fives. I think I'm 0 for 4 on those. I'm done with those. I'm actually going to have to sit through the whole thing whether I like it or not. So that's exactly how we're going to play this thing out. All right. So that pick will come up in about 3 minutes. I want to read some tweets. This is from Bill Oram, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic.
Yeah.
The Lakers are having their exit interviews today. The players, the coaches, the front office, they're all supposed to be meeting with the media, having their final press conferences, and then they're all done. Free to do what they want because they're not going to the playoffs. It starts like this. I'm just going to read a series of tweets in a row. Well, Lakers exit interviews are off to a great start. Lakers PR just announced there is no coffee allowed. Raymond Ritter would never, .. Magic Johnson is perhaps the one guy who could upstage LeBron James. LeBron was scheduled to do his exit interview at his locker last night after Luke talked. But Magic stole the show, and those plans were scrapped. As a result, no final thoughts from LeBron this season. Which is nonsense for LeBron James. You have to meet with the media at the end of the year. You're LeBron James. Josh Hart says the noise around the trade deadline was annoying. The media made it annoying. Social media made it annoying. Orem continues. It is a colossal misjudgment by the remaining members of Lakers management to not put an authority figure in front of the media to explain what the hell is going on. Jeannie Buss should be out here to show stability. Instead, we have to hear from Mo Wagner and Josh Hart. Kyle Kuzma, meanwhile, is fantastic right now. Get to a TV if you're not watching. Poised, thoughtful, accountable. Maybe he should be president of basketball operations. So this is just not Laker basketball in the year 2019. Your thoughts?
Wow. You pick up the phone of your Jeannie and you make some things happen. Magic didn't do him any favors, and this is I understand Magic steps down. We get that, but the timing is just horrible. After the season, you do what you think, you do the right thing, you know, pay your respects, even though you probably knew that you were retiring. You should have did it the right way, and I think this puts them in a very, very tough situation.
you know, LeBron, for him not to come out and speak, you know that that's someone in the organization saying, hey, we'd rather you not speak. Let's just, can we calm down right now? Let's get through this before we do anything. And it's going to be interesting. Do you put Luke? How's Luke? How's that exit meeting if he's going to meet with Luke? Is Luke going to look at him saying,
do it at Carl's Jr.
Exactly.
Just sit there, or have yourself a burger and some fries and just, yeah, whatever.
Or just call him and say, we don't need meat. I'm good. I mean,
You're talking about exit interviews between coaches and players. Yeah. So there's the behind the scene exit interviews, and then there's the front of the house, to use a restaurant term, exit interviews. Either way, it's just a bad look. Lakers.
It's a horrible look.
You're the Lakers. Get organized. You're the Lakers, the Knicks, the Cowboys, the Steelers, all these teams. Get organized.
At least have a statement. Read a statement. Let the people know, hey, this franchise is a glorious franchise. We're not quitting. We're moving forward. At least have someone come out and say something.
And if you're Magic Johnson, if you really care about Jeannie Buss that much and the Laker organization, which I do believe he does, take a cue from public relations people and realize when it's appropriate to make a decision like that. If you've got the last game of the year, the media wants to ask the players about the season, you can go ahead and put a pin in your big announcement until the next day. You don't need to stand behind Luke Walton near the podium just chomping at the bit or champing at the bit.
Shout out Billions.
Yes, I knew you would get that reference. There, yes, because champing at the bit is the real expression, but you want to be a man of the people, Low, mm-hmm. So you say chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Magic could have found a better time to seize the microphone, more appropriate time that would have put this organization in a better light.
I really believe that Magic's really, in my opinion, I know he loves Jeannie, but the way that he did this, this is a huge black eye and a stain for him, in a sense that now you can't say, okay, this guy's my ambassador right now. He left him with a bag in their hand.
Yeah, he's going to have to be quiet for a little bit.
You have to.
That's kind of how this works. You got to disappear and let it all blow.
This is a tough.
What was he thinking? Does this feel like a spur of the moment? It doesn't feel like anyone knew. No one knew.
Here's a guy that felt like, you know what? I've been sabotaged. Here's a guy that he said he's got backstabbed. Here's a guy that said, I love her, so I want to stay with this relationship. So he goes, you know what? I'm removing myself where I'm going to say something that's going to be harmful, but he still handled it wrong. He should have did the thing, played a dance. My dad always told me, walk easy when you got your hand in the lion's mouth, because it's, you know, you pull that hand out right away, he snaps, it's gone. He should have finished this ride, let him know, met with Jeannie and say, look, there's a conflict of interest here. You want to go in a direction. I didn't have my coach. I don't want these things. I feel like I'm being backside. I want to keep our relationship cordial. I'm just letting you know you need to hire someone else because I'm stepping down. That would have been the best way to do it. Right now, he felt like he's burning it all down in a sense, even though he's saying, oh, I love her. But at the same sense, that was a direct shot to say, I can't handle this. This is the side you're going to decide with, not with me. I'm out. And he left her high and dry.
Yeah, he should have left a month ago or a week from now.
Yes.
A month ago when it all goes down and LeBron decides that he's going to shut it down. After saying he's going to activate playoff mode, and then he decides he's going to activate off-season mode, and after all the details came out about how you botched the trade with Anthony Davis, and you realize that you're not going to be long for the job, do it back then, a month ago, or wait until after everything's played out. Do it on a Friday, a classic Friday news dump, to where you don't have to be the center of attention. But because Magic is so used to being the center of attention, going all the way back to his sophomore year at Michigan State, 1979.
Shout out 40 years, 40-year anniversary.
40-year anniversary. What an unbelievable game. I remember watching it as a 10-year-old coming up on my 11th birthday. It was the game that changed everything, but ever since then, he's been the center of attention.
How is it coming up on your 11th birthday? If the game's in April, your birthday's in August.
You know me and my birthday, Joe.
Is this the point where we start counting down the days to the 51st birthday?
I was going to wait until May, but, you know, we are starting to lock in. We're down to just 101 shopping days.
We're just one season away. We're in spring. The birthday's in summer.
Was that not his 50th? Was that not an ordeal? Was that beautiful?
He started telling me about it when he was 48.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll say this. That is one of the greatest days of my broadcasting life. And you guys have free license to make fun of me until I'm long gone. That what you guys did for me that day was truly special. Truly special.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, have I ruined it by talking about my birthday 4 months in advance? Probably.
Nah, because it's a good balance for the show, because you talk about it all the time, and it's always cool because everyone forgets Lowe's because it's after Christmas. So it's like a great balance.
Can I come over and hug you?
December 27th.
Bring it in, you big love.
Let me hug you.
You know you can.
Did you see him get all sensitive? I want to hug you.
He always gets sensitive. That's his thing.
I need a safe space.
You're not allowed to interrupt him. If you interrupt him, he gets really mad. We were talking talking about it with Coase. Coase jumped in on him. He goes, if I can finish, it's like we all interrupt everybody. Not everything needs a red carpet. Not every take doesn't need the red carpet.
Shut your stinking trap.
Just do what we do on the East Coast. Just get louder.
It's funny you say that, Joe, because when I interrupted Antonio Daniels earlier, I was ridiculed, and so we don't interrupt people all the time, Joe.
Guess. Say it. Say, I'm sorry, sir.
No one here is a guest. No one here gets treated like a guest.
No.
You're all paid professionals. All right, you got to make this bad. You got a stupid drum roll or something?
Yes.
I do.
I don't even care.
Winners ahoy.
You got this, Joe.
You got this.
Screw the Giants. Give me the Padres. Padres, 2 units. I'm taking Anna's advice. Padres, -108, 2 units. Bounce back spot.
Is that her advice or mine?
She said 2 units. Did you say Padres?
He did say Padres. He was going against...
Then, yeah, fine. Sure. You. Whatever. Whatever. I'm sitting here. Okay. I don't want to play the Giants today. Mm-hmm. They're going to... If I play them, they're not going to score any runs. I'm dead. This bet's going to lose.
Beware
this bet.
Beware of the hot Giant bats at home, Joe, because they're only hitting 204 on the road. They're hitting far better at home. 209. Sorry.
That was
is
nice.
The split really 208 versus 209?
204 to 209. I probably should have gotten to the punchline a little sooner. But
yeah.
You interrupted
me. So what does
me.
That mean? They're hitting 206 on the season?
On a tissue.
Give or take. Wow. They've got 5 road homers.
Wow.
2 home runs. But I was looking at the splits, trying to find the lefty-righty difference. They're no better against lefties than they are righties. And they're 5 points better at home than they are on the road.
There's a chance I fade this team so much that they take it personally, they win all these games, and then they end up going to the playoffs. And everyone in town is excited except me. Everyone. And I just keep betting against them in the playoffs, and they keep winning. I might personally deliver you another World Series by accident.
They
already gave
listening.
You a basketball dynasty.
They're like, what did Joe pick? Okay, guys, this is that Fortin ball guy. That's what he
they're
picked.
Listening. Pilar's yeah, right. Definitely listening. He's suddenly red hot. I play the under. He hits a grand slam. You know, he had never done that in his life. Never once hits a grand slam when I have the under. Then comes out yesterday. I'm playing the Padres. Has another 4 RBIs. Pilar is absolutely listening to the show. There's really no other excuse. What could possibly be the reason why he's driving in so many runs right now? Toronto gave him up for virtually nothing. They didn't think he could drive in runs like this. He's listening to the show, and he's spiting me.
And he really wants you to do the pregnancy simulator.
And you know what, Pilar? It's so low of you. It's so low of you to go out there and play like that just to get back at some schmuck radio host. You're better than that. What a mess this is. This is one of the worst ideas I have ever had. Because I have to keep doing it.
I know.
You know what may break you of this downward spiral, if we were able to get some sort of a radio slump buster on the air, maybe we need to get Pat Burrell on to help snap you out
lifetime
of it.
Lifetime ban. Lifetime ban. Not appearing. Lifetime ban.
What
he has been lifetime banned from the show.
If you fall to like 1,500 units down and at that point, maybe we
go. I'll take it. He's lifetime banned. He's not coming in here.
Are you kidding me?
Did
you do anything to your shirt yesterday? Did you wash it after yesterday's loss?
I threw it out.
Ooh.
So the shirt that got Nikki threw both the kids. Sorry, that shirt's gone. We can't have any more kids.
Wow.
Warriors championships, gone. Yeah. Sorry, everything. All the luck.
Sharks playoffs tonight? The shirt's not available for game one?
Shirt's not available for anything. You want to go rummage around the trash in my building? Help yourself. You might find the shirt. I'm done with it.
He's trash.
Oh, my God.
Blame Kevin Pillar. It's his fault.
Wow.
LeBron, what happened to his shirt?
It's trash.
Okay, it's trash. It's gone. The good luck shirt has run out.
Everyone can make their jokes except you, LeBron. Egg on your face, too, buddy. You and I are right down there in that foxhole together.
Yeah.
Your year stunk, so did mine. At least you got the movie coming out and all the other successes.
Yo, you got a long season. You're fine. You're going to be okay.
No, I'm not.
No.
There's 152 bets remaining. No, 150 bets remaining. 150. I'm going to have to start doing quadruple parlays at max wager to get back in this thing. Whatever.
Jim's loves this.
Comeback starts today. Yeah. San Diego, 2 units, -108. Lock it up. Pilar, get him out of lineup, Boach. Give him a day off. Get ready for the next series. The guy, he needs some rest. He just flew in. He's still jet-lagged from the Toronto time. Show's over. We're done. Steinmetz Guru, they'll be joined by Tim Roy at 11, Mark Spears at 11:35. Thank you all for hanging out with us today. Greatly appreciate it. Day game today. I'm sure you'll all be rooting for the Padres. Makes perfect sense. But for Dibs, Anna, and Lowe, I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game is getting you ready for the Warriors' playoff run.
Draymond does it in every respect. His defense, his ball handling, his screen setting, it's everything. I mean, he's all over the floor.
The stars shine brightest at night, and the sun is setting on the rest of the NBA. Here come the Golden State Warriors.
The only place to hear Warriors playoff basketball. 95.7. The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.